Welcome to the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. I'm live, and I'm in Southern California. This is where I live and work. Been here the entire pandemic in the same studio. Great to be here. Starting a busy third hour. A lot to get done. Nice to have you here. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. You have your telephone number. It is toll-free. It's good in the U.S. Even good in Canada, wherever you are. We start hour number three by having a conversation with the NFC Defensive Player of the Week. He's a linebacker for the Rams. He had an enormous game in that win over Philadelphia. 16 tackles, a pass defensed, a forced fumble in the win. He leads the NFL in solo tackles this season. He was a two-time All-ACC and William Campbell Trophy Award winner at Virginia. The 147th pick overall in 2018. The Rams are undefeated. They're 2-0. They've got a big one at Buffalo on Sunday. Micah Kaiser is my guest. Micah, it's good to have you on. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Really good to have you. So Sunday was your second career start, and all you did was go out, dominate that game, and get named Defensive Player of the Week. I know you're not looking to make it about you, but when you think back on that game against Philadelphia, what kind of thoughts do you have?
Yeah, I mean, just playing hard and fast. I got a lot of great players around me. When you got, Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, guys of that nature around you, it makes your job, a lot of fun. So just going out there, playing hard and trying to get a win, and we came out with it.
To that point about playing hard and fast, you're always going to play as fast as you possibly can, but at the same time, it's not like you're reckless out there and running around with no plan. Like, how much of what you do during the play is about reading before the snap, and then how much of it's about identifying the play as it's happening?
Yeah, great question. For a guy like myself, I'm very instinctual, so a lot of my game is, instincts and feel for the game. So, when you get in it and you kind of get in that zen mode and that flow, you're kind of just out there, playing, and it's a fun feeling.
Micah Kaiser is joining us. You mentioned some of the guys you're playing with on that side of the ball. Like, the defense has not allowed a second-half TD all season. It's one of two teams in the NFL to hold opponents to less than 20 in each game. How special is this defense then on all three levels?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're just scratching the surface. We didn't have an offseason together at all, and we got a new defense coordinator, and Coach Daly's been putting us in great positions. But, we're only two games in. We're still getting better every day, trying to get better playing with each other, better communicating. And I think, the sky's the limit with this group.
You mentioned it was not an off season, or you didn't have an off season. It makes it even more challenging when you consider that you're doing everything you're doing coming off missing last season with a torn pectoral muscle. That's a really difficult injury to come back from. What was it like to rehab the injury and then have to do some of that rehab during the pandemic when a lot of the gyms were shut down?
Yeah, it was tough. Mentally, it was tough. It was a long process. And then by the time I started feeling good, everything basically shut down. So, having that feeling of wanting to play football, wanting to be around the guys, and then basically being on your own for 3-4 months, it was difficult. But, stayed hard, stayed at it, kept working hard, and trying to make the most out of my opportunity.
I think that's interesting what you just said, that mentally, in fact, you went right to that, mentally it was hard. For instance, you said that Cooper Kupp was one of your role models when it came to coming back from the injury. How did he attack his rehab, and then what did you learn from that you could apply to your own comeback?
Yeah, absolutely. Cooper, he was a guy, he was having a great season, and then bam, he got hurt and kind of missed our Super Bowl run. And just to watch the way he worked day in and day out, we're preparing for the Super Bowl. He's biking as hard as he can. He's running routes. And then just to see the season that he had last year, and now obviously, hard work paid off. He got paid. Just to see that work and that work ethic every day, it was really, something that was exemplatory for me, and just to watch that, and now trying to do that this year for myself. That's just he's a great teammate and definitely inspiration.
Ram linebacker Micah Kaiser was the Defensive Player of the Week. When you talk about it, I've talked to so many athletes, and almost inevitably every single one, when they talk about rehabbing an injury, they say that the physical part is tough, but it's not nearly as tough as the mental part or the emotional part. You also worked with Dr. Kerry Hastings, the team's clinical and sports psychologist, during the rehab process. I really like hearing that. Like, how valuable is it to have a resource like that available to you? And then how much did it impact your rehab process?
Yeah, very valuable. Even though I was here and around the building, kind of like having that feeling of not really being on the team is definitely something that's very tough, especially for an athlete like myself. You've been playing ball, you've been on a team and been playing ball basically your whole life, and then now that's gone. It's very hard to deal with. But just being able to talk to Dr. Kerry was awesome. She's a great asset, and I kind of put it this way now, as you train your body, you train your body all the time, and it's good to train your mind, too. So I'm still going to see her, you know, weekly, and she's been a great asset for me.
God, that is such a great point, right? I mean, you train every muscle, but is there a more important muscle in the body than the mind?
Exactly. If your mind's not functioning, your brain's not functioning, you're going to have a hard time going out there and playing your best.
You know, and that point you just made also, that the hardest part is, or one of the hardest parts, is that you feel like you're not a member of the team. Like, everybody in that sport understands that you're going to get hurt. Like, it's not even a question of if, it's a matter of when, yet you feel like you're not a member of the team. What's that like emotionally? Because you're putting in the time, but you're not on the field with them on Sunday and you're not making plays. How difficult is that not to be a part of the team?
It's very tough. I think especially, you know, in the NFL, you got to understand it's a business and it's kind of a next man up mentality. So, you know, when you're out there, you're not out there. But I tried my best to stay involved. You know, I was going to meetings. I was always around the guys, around the building. But, you know, it's difficult. It's tough. When you're not in the foxhole, as I like to say, when you're not out there and actually putting in the work, there is a disconnect. But I think I stayed with it, stayed focused, and now this year it's definitely paying off.
It is paying off. Micah Kizer joining me for a few more moments. You know, you go back to that last game. On the first play from scrimmage, you tackled Miles Sanders on a run. The second play, you handled him on a pass play. On the third, you stripped him and forced a fumble. Kenny Young recovered the fumble, which seems to point to the chemistry the two of you have. Like, when it comes to hitting and bringing the physicality on the field, what is your mindset? Because Sean McVay made a point of saying both these guys have that.
Yeah, I think, you know, we came into the season, I guess our inside linebackers, specifically me and Kenny, are kind of the unproven point of the defense. But I think so far we've shown that we're going to go out there, hit guys, bring the energy, and really, you know, set the mindset of us being a physical football team. And so far that's been what we've been doing, and we're going to keep it up the rest of the year.
All right, so you've got an undefeated Bills team coming up this weekend. That's a really nice challenge. What concerns you the most about their offense coming into Sunday?
Yeah, I think just watching him, it's all about Josh Allen. You know, he can throw the ball. He's very athletic. He can create plays off schedule, kind of Big Ben-like. So we're going to try to control him, control the run game, and get out of there with a win.
Sort of Big Ben-like, but more mobile, right? That's a young guy who can get out and make some plays with his legs.
Yeah, he can make a lot of plays with his legs. He's not looking to get down either. He's out there trying to stiff-arm guys, run through tackles, and keep plays alive. So definitely going to be a great challenge.
You know, I noticed before you go, you've been tweeting about LeBron in the NBA playoffs. As one professional athlete, a young professional athlete, looking at another, how much do you respect that LeBron is still playing at this level in his 17th season? What kind of thoughts do you have when you see him doing that?
Yeah, it's crazy. Just, I mean, I grew up with LeBron, so that's why, you know, when people talk about LeBron versus MJ, I didn't get to really watch MJ, but I've been watching LeBron since I can remember, and to watch him, you know, day in, day out, put in that work. When you talk about investment in your body, I think he's been one of the, you know, leading athletes in really investing in your body and taking the time off the court. And just to be able to have that kind of sustained success is just incredible to see. And I hope he gets his fourth title.
Body is temple. Your body is your moneymaker, and he's proven that. He is the NFC Defensive Player of the Week. Micah Kizer, Rams linebacker, Rams at Buffalo on Sunday. Micah, great to have you on the show. Appreciate you and the conversation.
Oh, thanks for having me.
That was fun. Well done. Really well done. And he came off a devastating injury, and he is playing lights out. NFC Defensive Player of the Week. Rams, Buffalo, who you got? You already heard James Kelly come in and say he's got the Rams and that the Mafia is not happy with him. It's not personal, man. It certainly is not personal. The big head took a look at the matchup, crunched some numbers, and that's where he came out. All right, so 1-800-636-8686. If I'm not mistaken, we have not taken a telephone call yet. A lot of content, interviews, takes, some reaction, but not a phone call. 1-800-636-8686. At Mock Moda tweets, "Damn it, Rome. I was in a Zoom meeting. I missed the flight deck's picks. Have him write them on his six head. Go outside and face east, please."
Don't forget Mock Moda.
Come on, Mock Moke. Come on, Moke Moda. Mock Moda.
Don't forget Mock Moda.
Why are you going to do the deck like that? I'm even going to stick up for the deck after he did me the way he did me.
Negative,
he Lee Evans'd me. And it was awkward.
Awkward.
All right, so once again, really quickly, for entertainment purposes only, he's got the Chargers -6.5 against the Panthers. He's got the Rams plus two against the Bills. He's got the Vikings plus three against the Titans. He took Izzy. And did Izzy, was he minus 185 or minus 165? Minus 185. That's a great fight tomorrow night. And he said that he's looking at the Heat and the Celtics in game. To me, that's a smart way to go, to bet in game. But I generally don't like fighting the system. And even though I know it's not the best way to do it, I generally would just go and kind of roll with it. Prior to the game, I mean. But I'll go in game sometime. 1-800-636-8686. Let's see what we got here. What do you think here, Adam Hawk? Throw the headphones on really quickly. Let me check in with you. What's up, dude?
How are you, Jim?
So good. How about you?
Good. And when you ask me stuff, I'll be sure to respond, unlike James Kelly, who left 5 seconds of dead air during that last time you guys were chatting.
Yeah, but unlike James Kelly, you'll probably tell me what you think I want to hear and you'll lie out your ass. Kelly at least is real.
That's a great point by you.
It usually is. All right, so when you're looking at these calls that you just screened, are there any that might make this show better, in your opinion?
Well, Kim wants to start something with Bella B over the ATP, and I respect it. I just don't think Kim has the kind of phone game that she thinks she has. And when she told me, I'm not really going to be, like, nasty or mean, I'm like, well, you should be. It's the jungle. That's not going to be entertaining if you're not nasty or mean. That's kind of what we do around here. So the verdict's out on Kim. You've got Matt in L.A., who's always there. He wants to hype the local teams. And
no way.
Every time he comes on, there's 50 tweets that are all pissed at me for putting that through. And then you've got a guy who's been banned for life named Sonny in Toronto who wants to beg you to please take him back. And then I've got about eight other phone lines ringing that I need to get to, but those are the three that I've screened so far.
So why don't you remind the entire jungle why we banned Sonny for life? He must have done something pretty bad.
Oh, he did something bad. He did something extremely graphic. He took, let's just say he took Brad and Corona's brand of smack, which we all know what it is. I'm not going to say it on the air. And he then mixed it with forcibly feeding something to someone else. It was horrible. It was abhorrent. It was graphic. It was disgusting. It was so bad that he was instantly banned for life.
So why is he even on hold then?
Well, I can't block people from calling the show. And
yeah, but you can remind them that they're banned for life.
Well, he did want to beg you for your forgiveness, and I wanted to pitch that idea to you during the break.
So do you think that's a good idea or a bad idea? Pitch to me right now on the air.
Banned for life typically means for life, not for a few months. So I would say
banned for life does not mean you're eligible for parole in 2 weeks, Adam.
Yeah. I would say Sonny in Toronto needs to continue to sit this out for a while.
Right.
That would be what I would say.
Is that your pitch to me?
My pitch is to not take that call.
Then why did you put it on hold?
Because I don't know. You're the host. Maybe you felt differently. Maybe you felt, hey, we give second chances around here. So I was going to let that decision rest with
you. What is it about banned for life that would suggest a second chance?
I don't know. Honestly.
You never do, Hawk.
Another great point by you. You're killing it this segment.
Stop kissing my ass and do your job, man. Wow. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so these are my options. Or I could just go to break and get ready for the next interview. Right? There's always that. Pittsburgh Steelers cornerback Mike Hilton is going to join me. This is the rare four interview day. And if you really want to look at it, four interviews and the flight deck on a Friday. We still have Alvin's Week That Was, which if I've got nine segments... If I've got nine segments on any given program, and if you do the math and you multiply that by five and you end up with 45, I'm going to argue that Alvin's segment is better than any of the other segments during the week. Let me tell you something about, he tried to make the comparison to James Kelly. James Kelly hanging me out to dry, and even in that most awkward of moments, him saying nothing is still better than any of the bleep that's coming out of the bird's mouth, right? Would we not all agree with that? When we come back, another interview. Mike Hilton of the Steelers joins us. They've got an interesting matchup, too, this weekend. NFL rolling right along. Feels awesome. Also, something to do over the weekend. Check out episode number 144 of the Jim Rome Podcast with Steve Smith. One of my favorite episodes ever. 89, bottom line. 1 hour with him and almost no talk about football and one of my favorite conversations ever. I love Steve Smith. I love that. Episode 144. Look for it, and we will come right back.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Rolling off one NFL interview to another. Welcome back. I am Jim Rome. Nice to have you. All right. Moving through hour number three. Albie's week that was still upcoming, but as promised, we are joined right now by a cornerback for the Steelers. He's coming off a game where he had eight tackles and a sack and a pass defended and a fumble recovery, all in Sunday's win over Denver. He is tied for second most sacks in the league this year. 13 tackles, two sacks, two passes defended, and that fumble recovery. He was undrafted back in 2016 out of Mississippi. The Steelers out 2-0. They're at home against Houston on CBS, 1 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. Mike Hilton is my guest. Mike, it's good to have you on. How are you, Mike?
What's going on, Jim? How you doing?
Good, dude. Good. Really good. I know you're already thinking about the Houston game on Sunday, but I got to ask you about your last game last Sunday because you had an enormous day. How pleased were you overall with the defense and how you guys showed up on that unit?
I feel like we played well. Early in the game, they were able to run the ball, but after a while, we were able to settle down and, you know, really play our game and get after the quarterback. And we felt like, you know, once we stopped their run, number one, we made them one-dimensional, which gives our guys the opportunity to pin their ears back and go put pressure on the quarterback, and we were able to do that.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. You, as a cornerback, are really good at getting after the quarterback, and I'll talk to you about that in a minute. But you made a number of plays that we could talk about. I've got to pick my spots. What about the recovery of that fumble that Bud Dupree caused? What did you see on that play as it was unfolding?
I know it was third down. We were in man coverage, and now there's no fans. Like, as I'm running, covering my guy, I just hear the whole sideline go ball. So I just turn around. I see the ball on the ground, you know, and instincts take over. Go jump on that ball and give our offense an opportunity.
Mike Hilton, my guest. Actually, I want to say you're tied for third in the league in sacks, but this is not new. You have 8.5 sacks in 49 career games. DBs are not supposed to get to the quarterback like that, but you do. How do you explain that?
I just feels like a knack for something, you know, just like any other position. Receivers have knack catching the ball, and running backs have knacks of making people miss. I don't know, it's just my knack to be able to cause havoc in the backfield, and, you know, in my short career, I've been able to do that at a high level.
Mike Hilton is joining us. In fact, I talked to a lot of defensive ends about their approach to pass rushing, and your D coordinator, Keith Butler, pretty much said exactly that. He knows how to do it. He's got a knack for that type of thing. So what's it mean to you to be playing in a defense that puts you in spots like that, to have that kind of success and to be able to make an impact like that? Fit.
It's a great feeling. You know, when you gain the coach's trust and, you know, you go out there and perform and do what they want at a high level, you know, that give you more opportunities to go out there and make plays. And, you know, over these couple of years, I've been gaining the trust of all my coaches and all my teammates. And they know when they call something for me, you know, there's a good chance that I'll be able to make the play. So just having those guys confident in my ability, you know, that's a big confidence booster.
You know, Mike, from the outside looking in, you are not necessarily the biggest guy in the field, but, man, you hit hard. A lot of cornerbacks have got that reputation for maybe not being as interested in tackling, but you are not afraid to bring the lumber. What is your attitude when it comes to tackling and being physical in that position?
Man, it's always been my mindset, man. You know, I've always probably most likely been the smaller guy on the field, so I expect teams to throw my way and run my way and see what type of player I am. And I know it's just something in my DNA that, you know, I play bigger than I look, and, you know, I go out there and prove it when I get on the field.
Well, I mean, it's evidence of how you hit. You've joined the linebackers for tackling drills before the season. Like, what are those drills like, and what do you take away from them?
It's just an opportunity to work on, you know, your tackling, especially with this offseason and our different type of training camp we had. So, and then no preseason, you know, you don't really work on your tackling too much, but this offseason, I really took it in stride. And when coaches pulled me over for tackling drills, you know, I really did it 100% and really trying to make sure my craft is at its best.
Steelers cornerback Mike Hilton is my guest. Now, when you play defense in Pittsburgh, that means you're part of a really special tradition. As an example, a couple of years back when you had 3 sacks against the Texans on Christmas Day, your name was suddenly being mentioned alongside guys like Troy Polamalu, Donnie Shell, who was a fierce, fierce hitter, Carnell Lake.
Yeah.
Like, what's it mean to you to be a part of that Steeler tradition?
Man, it's a great thing. Like you said, knowing all the teams and all the players that have played defense in this organization, you know, to be recognized as some of the best to ever do it, you know, it's a big blessing, and I'm not going to take it for granted. I just want to go out there and keep improving and just try to help my team win.
Well, I mean, your journey has been something, too. Like, as an example, I had Brown safety Andrew Sendejo on the show last hour, and like you, he was undrafted coming out of college. He had to go to the UFL. You were undrafted, and you were cut twice in a 3-week span, but you just kept grinding, yeah. And you guys were able to carve out careers for yourselves. As you've said, quote, I know it's cliche. I know a lot of athletes say it, but it really is the effort you put in, end quote. Like, a lot of guys in your situation never make it to even one NFL game, let alone have the impact that you're having right now. So how does it feel to know that all that hard work is paying off?
Man, it's a great feeling. You know, just going through the whole process, I was just sitting there thinking, I'm not the first one to go through this, and I won't be the last. So take advantage of this opportunity because you never know when you get it again. And, you know, thankfully I landed with the perfect team, and I've been able to produce. And, you know, I'm just happy to be here and help us win.
You know, to your point, though, it doesn't work out for everybody. Like, some guys might want to, or maybe some guys don't know how to. Like, this is kind of weird, but I was talking to Jonnu Smith of the Titans yesterday, and he was telling me how, man, he loves weightlifting. Like, he absolutely loves to be in the gym, but he said that not everybody likes to lift, which kind of surprised me. Like, you figure, like, if you're in the NFL, not only is it part of the job, but you must like it. But, I mean, is that the way it is? Do some people not like it, or do some just not know how to put the effort in?
You know, everybody's different, man. Everybody's got a different motivation, a different mindset, and for me personally, I just feel like, you know, I'm not supposed to be in this position, man. Like I said, I've been cut. I was sitting at home for a couple times, so I know how it feels, and I just never let it go over my head. I'm always focused on getting better any type of way, lifting, running, technique, just something small that got to keep me going.
See, I'm glad you said that because I've always been curious about this. If everybody's telling you that you're not big enough, you're not strong enough, you're not good enough, you're not fast enough, whatever, how is it that you have that one voice that keeps telling you everybody in the world's wrong and I know I am? How does that work?
Man, it's just that voice in your head, man. If it's one person that's going to always critique and always check out how you're playing, it's going to be yourself. So you just got to have confidence in yourself, confidence in your ability. And just block out the outside noise. Focus on how you are as a player and just, you know, go out there and compete, man, and just have fun.
Mike Hilton's my guest. All right, so you're part of a Steelers secondary. It's really talented. Minka Fitzpatrick is in that system and was for a chunk of last season as well. And then the offseason, like, he's a really unique player to me. What's he bring to the secondary?
Man, his overall, he's probably the smartest guy on the defense, especially for him not being here for what? It's going on 2 years. No, it's going on 1 year. We traded for him week 2, yeah. So just his willingness to go around and ask people, like, what they're doing on certain coverages and where's his landmark, if he's in the post. Just seeing how mature he is to be such a young guy, you know, it shows in the way he plays and how he makes plays on the ball, and he's just all around the field.
You know, Mike, you got a good head for this sort of thing and a good set of eyes. For instance, you were hyping rookie wide receiver Chase Claypool before the season, and then he had that bomb against Denver. What did you see in him before the year that made you think that he had something special in him?
Man, for a guy to be that big and that athletic, it's crazy. So we're not surprised by him going up top on Denver. You know, we tried to keep a secret. I know Joe Hayden said something about him during training camp, but, you know, it's out there now. Everybody sees how athletic and gifted he is, and, you know, we're going to count on him during the season.
All right, so let me finally ask you, Steelers fans are such an enormous part of the home games. What was it like playing that game without the usual Pittsburgh crowd?
Man, it's definitely different for sure. But that's where we, as a team, we create our own energy. We bring our own juice. You know, we know we got to amp it up a lot more because there's no fans behind us. So just guys on the sideline are always hyping each other up and trying to get that energy going. And we know if we can get energy from the 40 other players on the sideline and coaches, we know that 11 out there is going to go out there and do their job.
Dude, I was going to say, if there were 52 of you in addition to you, juice and energy would not be an issue. I mean, is this the way you always are? Do you have to manufacture on some days? Or do you kind of wake up with this kind of juice and energy every single day?
Man, I wake up with it. Like I said, it's a blessing to be in this position. I don't take it for granted. You know, this game we play, you're one snap away from it being your last. So I just go out there and, you know, just have fun, man. Enjoy it. It's something I've been doing my whole life. So I've never lost the love for it, and I don't plan to lose the love for it.
I love that. Houston at Pittsburgh on Sunday, CBS game. He is a cornerback for the Steelers, coming off a huge game that win over Denver. Mike Hilton, my guest. Mike, great to have you on. Appreciate the energy and the juice, man. Great job.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Good talking to you, Mike. Really nice to have you. Love that. If we all hit everything the way he hits his gig with that kind of gratitude and appreciation, how much better would we all be? How much better would we all be at our jobs? How much better would we all be at life? I love that energy. Picking me up. All right, so we are into the bottom of the third hour. Like I said, a lot of show. Did I or did I not say back at the very top, I don't know how I'm going to get all of this show into 3 hours. I've gotten a little bit of everything in here. The only thing I've not gotten in yet is like Rit. Hawk was in. James Kelly was in. Alvy is always making his presence felt. D-Dub behind the scenes. Running the whole thing, finally. Josh Heupel, Andrew Sendejo came in. Micah Kaiser was really good. Mike Hilton with great energy. The big head hung me out to drive, dead-aired me, Lee Evans'd me. Hawk came in and kissed my ass some more. It was totally insincere, very disingenuous. And we're not even done yet. I've got one more segment for you, a good segment. Sonny in Toronto hung up. That was a good idea. Hey, Sonny, what is it about band for life that you and Hawk don't understand?
For life.
A band for life does not mean call back in 1 week. I'm telling you, I've had a pretty good day, and I think most would say so, except Rit. Rit's back. They're like, yeah, kind of all right, I guess. For you, I could do so much better. Yeah, you better not take even one day off, Rome, because I know they'll come to me and I'll be ready. You know why I'll be ready? Because I don't have to get ready. I stay ready.
Game on.
Game on. I know it. I'm waiting. I'm watching you, Rome. I'm waiting for you, Rome. One bad day or one day off, I will be in that chair and you will never get back in that chair. I'll show you who a real Hall of Famer is. Me, Ike Rit. All right, we're coming right. Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Alvy, are you ready for your week that was?
Dude, why are you getting all rattled and stuff? I know who the update man is. Everything's fine, Alvy. Take it easy. Hey, Adam, are you ready with the ATP?
Dude.
This is why I don't need co-hosts. I can just be everybody's voice. I can do everybody. All right, let's get you a sports update here. This segment brought to you by Grainger. As you get back to business, Grainger is there to help with supplies and solutions for every industry, free access to product specialists, safety recovery guides, 24/7 support, and more. Visit Grainger.com/recovery. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. All right, that time of the year, or I should say that time of the program, where we ask the pros, the ATP. You submit your question, and I answer it. And actually, I've got several. I'm going to go rapid fire on these. The ATP, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Alvy, I will be wary of the clock. We will definitely get to the week that was. Let me bust through these quickly.
The clock.
The first ATP question is directed to Hiking Fool Rome. Do you go with lightweight hiking boots or trail running shoes? Hope the smoke is cleared in SoCal and you're back at it. Brad in the 360. You know what, Brad? I went earlier this week. I went, you know what I do? I don't really have a good plan. I don't really know because I was never going to hike. And then I went out there and I went with like my cross trainers or my, I need a new pair of shoes, yo. I am not fitted properly for the hike. Definitely not boots. I'm going to say like some CrossFitters, some running shoes.
I'm kind of like Steve Smith. I never thought that I would hike, so I was not properly equipped or prepared to hike.
I didn't even have hiking shoes. Like, the first time we went, I went as, like, I was literally had some Air Force Ones or some J's to figure out which one I used.
Right.
See, I say the same thing. Like, before this, I was like, man, I would never do that. Like, I was never a hiker. I'm just be honest, man. I'm a black dude with tattoos from the inner city of L.A., 126 in Avalon, bro. Like, we don't hike. But damn it, I'm a hiking fool right now.
Man, I love this guy. Steve Smith, that's our podcast, the Jim Rome Podcast this week. It's live. He goes, I'm a black dude with tattoos from the inner city, man. We don't hike. I'm a white dude with no tattoos from suburbia. We don't hike either. But now I'm a hiking fool. I just need a better pair of kicks. Look who made it in. Hi, Jim. Is there a habit that you're trying to give up? Thanks. Bella B. in Calgary. So many, Bella. So many. We had a big sit-down conversation, Janet and I, with Logan Rome last night about the importance of developing good habits, better habits. And yes, there are habits I'm trying to kick. The sugar habit would be one, getting better at that. Definitely that. Nutrition. Want to make better nutritional choices. Would have done so. Jimmy Jim, from a strictly architectural standpoint, do you like your house in California or Wisconsin better? Brent in PC. He's also very good at the ATP. Honestly, Wisconsin. True. Keep in mind, this is how this went down. So I buy this house. All right, so we had a house in our neighborhood. I wanted to downsize and be responsible. We built that house. We lived in that house. We sold that house. I thought about moving outside that neighborhood. Couldn't find anything I liked. Stayed in the neighborhood. Found another house. And my real estate agent, who I like quite a bit, said, you know what? It's a really great lot and a solid house. It's fine. You should just put a pool in the backyard and you'll be good. I walk in the house. I brought an interior decorator into the house and then a second interior decorator into the house. And they literally were all saying, you know what? I would do this, 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 and this. We had no intention of doing anything to the house except maybe fixing the backyard. We redid every freaking room in the house. It was not the plan. It was not my favorite experience. So I'm going to take Wisconsin over Cali all day long. I wish I could take that house and move it to where I am right now. But I do like this house. I like the Cali house. The Wisconsin house is pretty unique. Dear Jim, if you could interview any sports figure, who would it be? Kim in Sacramento. Kim, aren't you on hold right now? All right, so either I take your call or I answer your question. How about I do neither? Alvin, are you ready for the week that was? Hey now, what's going on? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. Hope you had a good weekend. A tremendous Monday to you. Why don't we start with the bad news? There was a period of time in the first set of games yesterday when it seemed like we were averaging about an injury a minute. But it wasn't all horrible news. From yesterday, there was a lot of awesome, starting with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah! Rodgers swings it left side. He's got a touchdown!
He's not even close to being done. He's still elite as hell.
But then, isn't that what I said after week one?
Yeah, well, I'm saying it again after week two.
War the Packers rolling that fat. Fat ass Patricia out of Lambo, like the Oompa Loompa rolled the blueberry girl out of the chocolate factory.
I want an Oompa Loompa now!
Kyler Murray kept on doing what I told you what he would do when I was on the NFL Today yesterday.
Murray himself made a run at the MVP award. In fact, I'll be shocked if he doesn't.
Murray running to the right, cuts to the left, and hits pay dirt.
The most electric player in the game is not Patrick Mahomes. It's not Lamar Jackson. It's Kyler Murray.
And the ball is recovered by Dallas.
And seriously, what the hell was that? What the hell were the Falcons thinking? What were they doing?
Oh, hell no. I'm not touching that spinning football.
No, you got the wrong dude.
Hey, Atlanta, back to being the fail clown.
Fail clown.
Know the rules much?
Jonathan Jones.
The football is oblong. Like, it changes. You never know. That's the point of the onside kick.
Bryson DeChambeau.
And then when it was done, he slammed a big glass of chocolate milk and told everybody, I'm not done. I'm only getting started. And at this point, can we really afford not to believe this guy? Robert Lucetich.
What would ever happen if one of these long drive guys suddenly could pop and chip? This is essentially what we're seeing. He's just very different.
Jeff Perlman is joining us.
And Kobe Bryant walks up to him and says, Smocky, where's my $100? I told you I'll get it to you when I get it to you. Punches Smocky Walker in the face. Smocky Walker throws his disc man.
The Las Vegas Raiders.
This guy's a great quarterback.
He deserved to have a night like that on national TV. He deserved that shine.
Wow.
The only thing that would have made it better would have been Raider fan packed into that Death Star. What a bad night for the Saints.
And you know, that lady had a solid game. She was decisive, never out of position, ponytail flying around. She wasn't afraid to drop that hammer. And besides, man, I just love Blunt.
Email.
I'm not going to sit here and read these emails and these tweets every single day about some famous guy who's got a kid, who's got a good gig. Are we good now?
Touchdown, Aaron Jones!
Aaron Jones joining me.
My brother, he's like, I need 2 touchdowns, and I told him I was doing it that day. I was like, I got you for 3.
Jurassic Pork. And the people with money almost always get over.
Rub and tug.
Even if they did exactly.
Open flygate.
What everybody knows they did. Every lucky pervert has his day. They got off. What's going on, Scotty? How are you?
If you can't call me the bartender, I called you about a year ago.
Scotty, you sound like a really good dude. But rules are rules.
Zookeeper.
Talking to Ryan Dempster. The reaction of the crowd in Boston was something, man. They went
nuts. Well, yeah,
they went nuts because it was A-Rod.
We were having some cold ones, and my brother told me, hey, man, like, how fun would that be at anyway, to hit A-Rod his first at bat. I was like, yeah, do perfect.
Did I or did I not say there would be a number of teams lined up around Mockingbird Lane trying to hire the Munster kid? This is not the job that I thought that he would take, though. That's what I'm saying. Yo, what up, Herm? Jason, what's your beef?
Or DA doing rock to cradle to get between his back molars.
Good to have you, Kyle. What is your beef?
Parody freaking Larry.
Don, what's your beef?
Everybody just hating on Nebraska.
Kathleen, what's your beef?
With you.
I was never a hiker, man. I'm a black dude with tattoos from the inner city of L.A., 126 in Avalon, bro. We don't hike. But damn it, I'm a hiking fool right now.
Puts it over Smart for 3. Got it to go!
This guy was born in the year 2000. We're now seeing dudes born in the year 2000 lighting it up in the NBA. Can't drink, but he can cook. Jonnu Smith.
Whoever told you, know that the weight room is free, man. You can get away with stuff like that, man, when you love it as much as I do. You know what I mean? Go and eat some donuts, come in here, lift, burn it off. You be good.
Unwar. Babysitting callers that don't have the self-control to stay sober while waiting on hold.
Intelligence quotient.
Andrew Sendejo was my guest.
When I was in the UFL, I had a coach that said, you're going to play 10 years in the NFL. And I looked at him like, you're full of shit. Like, there's no way.
Trust me, I don't hate nobody. I hate you.
AI is a national treasure. He's impossible not to love. And whoever got on the wrong side of this guy is going to have to live with that sin forever.
You and your dad.
Filled in for Hawk on the phone yesterday. They love me right now.
Hawk just said, not one person has ever thanked me for one thing ever.
Awkward.
That's right.
Anyway, Head.
You're killing it this segment.
It's a blessing to be in this position. I don't take it for granted.
Got a sports update. Here it is. Here's Rich Ackerman.
Sports Flash.
All right, Jim.
That's no fun going out there.
The Secretary at the Belmont.
Care yourself, Jim. Stay safe, everybody.
Deuces, Jim.
For my wife. Get the kids to bed. It's getting late.
Oh, my goodness. Goodbye.
Goes in motion.
Good night now.
I can't even tell you how smart that segment is. It is brilliant that Alvin can put that together. And even more brilliant that I instructed him to do so. Why is that? It's the most amazing commercial for this show ever. You hear something like that. That's not the best of this show over 30 years. That's the best of this show over the last 5 days. That's how many good things happen on this program. And that's how genius Alvin is at editing that and putting that together and running it back. And he only works a 4-day work week now. And no, Alvin, I'm sorry. When you G-chat me from home, that does not constitute a work day. Now you're also involved with the program. I love that segment. That is such an amazing segment. Alvy's Week That Was. Brought to you by me. That should be sponsored, man. That is the best segment of the week. That's the best content we have all week long. Man, that was so much show. Josh Heupel, way back in hour number one. Andrew Sendejo settled in really nicely. We had to get him off the practice field, and he finally came through. Micah Kizer of the Rams missed all of last year, and he's playing at a super high level already. That's one of the big heads' picks. He's got the Rams plus two at Buffalo. Mike Hilton loved his energy and his juice. Or as Josh Heupel were to say, if you're juiceless, you're useless. Now we're done.
Now I'm done.
I played that Steve Smith quote or cut about him being a hiking fool. Listen to that this weekend. That is a really good podcast episode. Episode 144 with Steve Smith. The old man Ritt is efforting yet again. If there's somebody you would like to hear on the podcast next week, we are out to dozens of people. But if there's somebody that you want to hear that maybe we have not thought of, tweet at Ritt. We're open to it. My thanks to the XR4TI. My thanks to all of those guests. Clones, have a tremendous weekend. I will see you right back here on Monday. We're out.